Okay, we continue in Sefer Shmuel. This is our fifth class, I believe. We're on Perek Aleph, and we finished Pasuk Yud Aleph. I don't believe I mentioned there's a number of Radaks that bring a number of Chazal over here. And I'm just going to read them outside, and then we're going to do a very important Malbim. Goes through a number of these psukim over here. And we're going to be spending a few more sessions on these cluster of psukim that talk about Chana's prayer. Because there's so much more to learn about her prayers. So the first Chazal Radak brings brings from the Gemara in Brachas. It says, we don't find anyone calling Hashem by Tzvokos until we come to Chana. And that's what she said in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vatidor Neder Vatomar Hashem Tzvokos. She made a vow and said, Hashem Tzvokos. So we see that this is the first time it's mentioned, even though it said it a little earlier in Pasuk Gimel, but that was the narrator's discussion, where it says, where was that? It says it was in Pasuk Gimel. Why am I not finding it? I'm looking at it. They would go to give offerings to Hashem Tzvakos. But that's the narrator's description, because that's what she's going to call him. But she's the first one to call him Tzvakos. And she said, and so why is such a name being used? So the Gemara explains. He brings it down. He says, Chana said before Hashem, Shnei Tzvakos Baros Balaam Echa. There are two hosts, two groups you created in this world. The higher group and the lower group. The higher group, they're not fruitful, they don't multiply, and they don't die. That's the angelic realm. The lower group, they're fruitful, they multiply, and they die. So he asked, which one of the tzvakos am I part of? Which one am I part of? If I'm from the lower group, then I'm going to die, so I should be fruitful, multiply. If I'm from the higher group, then I should remain alive forever and never die. So make up your mind which one you want me to be. That was one chazal. And she also, another chazal that's brought down from the Yalkut. Chana said to Hashem, Master Universe, from all the, millions of people in this world, so am I the only one that you can't remember to give a child to? So again, as part of the group, why aren't you letting me be part like everybody else? A third chazal they bring down. She says on the words, continue the pasuk, Imra'o sir ebani. What's the double expression? If you shall surely see, Imra'o, if you are seeing and you will see, Imra'o tir ebani amosecha. You will see the impoverishment of your maidservant. What do the words mean? So, Rashi says, the rabbis interpret what they interpret. Okay, good. So it doesn't tell us what they interpret.
What does Rashi say?
The rabbis interpret what they interpret. Doesn't tell us what they're interpreting. So the Radak fills it in over here. And you'll see what the double expression fits in very nicely. She says like this, Imra'o, if you will see my impoverished state, good. And if not, and if you won't see my impoverished state and act upon it, what will I do? I will use a subterfuge. I will go to another man and I will, closet myself in with him in a private place, and will force my husband to be jealous of me, and then he will have to make me drink the waters of the Sota. We know that if a woman is in seclusion with another man, we don't know if she committed a sin with another man or not. To get out of the doubt, she has to drink the waters of the Sota. And then one of two things happen. If she sinned, she dies. But if she doesn't, she becomes fruitful. And the Gemara explains, if she never had children, she'll have children. So that's what she's saying over here. Either you will see me now, you're going to look at me now and see my impoverished state and do something about it, or you will see me. You'll see me back in Shiloh with the Kohen making me drink the bitter waters. And since I will be righteous, I will, then that'll be the other way to become fruitful. One way or the other, I'm going to have a child. We could do it in a nice way. I'm asking you nicely, so give me a child. If not, then I will force you to have to give me to drink these waters, and then I'll have a child also. Why? She wants to have a child of Shem Shemayim. She wants to have a child of Shem Shemayim.
She's like blackmailing Hashem in a way, like she's really forcing herself on this issue.
Well, she thinks it's important to have a child.
I agree with
you. It's important to have a child.
I understand that, but that's a bit powerful.
Well, you have to remember, it's all in context of how we learned the Nefesh HaChaim last week, where she prayed Al Hashem. Remember, it says she prayed Al Hashem. It's for Hashem's sake. And she's going to do what she can to bring this child into the world for Hashem's sake. Now, again, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says the word Amosecha three times. It says, if you will see the impoverishment of Amosecha, and you will remember and not forget your Amosecha, and you'll give to your Amosecha children. Okay. So, it says three times. So she says, for the three mitzvahs that women are obligated to keep, as I was like your maidservant. And the three famous mitzvahs is the word Chana herself. Right? Chala, Nida, and Hadlaka Saneris. Separating Chala, family purity, and lighting the Shabbos candles. And that, as a good quote-unquote maidservant of Hashem, she did all the mitzvahs she's supposed to do, and Hashem should recognize that. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about that. So just, it's good, good. You're saying good, but the Malbim will say a little better.
No, but it's good. English translation says bombs women. What does it mean by
that? I don't know. I don't know how to translate the English.
I don't.
I said like a maidservant.
Maidservant.
The next chazal on this pasuk says, Suchartani v'lo tishkach. Remember me and don't forget me. Right? So Radak says it's to strengthen her prayer, double expression. But the rabbis learn, Sechartani, remember me to have children, males, and don't forget me that I should also have females. So it's not just one child, she wants many children over here. And finally, when she asks for Zera Anoshim, a seed of men, so it explains, Chachamim, it should be scholarly people. And Chazal say, and what's Zera Anoshim? Zera meaning a seed, a child to be as good as two people, and which two people should be as good as? Moshe and Aaron. As we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, Moshe and Aaron b'Kohanov, u'Shmuel b'Korei Shemo. The Moshe and Aaron with their Kohanim, and Shmuel with those who call out his name, and we will elaborate on that Chazal shortly. There's a number of Chazal. It shows you how deep her prayers were in the fact that she was talking to Hashem. Now, the Rav Tzadok, and I'm going to hand it out. I don't know if Mona, you can follow it, but it's good to have it anyway. I made the copies anyway, so, and I'm not going to do the whole piece, but it's a good thing to have. Back in this, you can give out on this table. Yeah. Okay, so Reb Tzadok has a lot of things to say over here, and the first piece, Reb Tzadok, I spoke out outside already, where Chana was more than happy to be beloved by her husband, and it wasn't the same issues between Rachel and Leah as we have between Chana and Penina, although we're going to find the results were much more disastrous, but it wasn't her intentions. So Reb Tzadok explains that we're dealing here in with a turning point in Jewish history. Until now, it says in Pirkei Avos, it says that Moshe kibel Torah miSinai umasul Yeshua. Ushul is a Kadim, Uzkadim, Levim, Levim, Lanshe Knesset Agdola. So Moshe received the Torah from Sinai, he gave it over to Yeshua to the elders to the prophets, and the prophets to the men of the great assembly. Each one was a different epic in Jewish history, a different era. And Sefer Shmuel begins a new era. It's a new era. That's what each Sefer really was about. Moshe is the five books of Moses. Yehoshua is his own sefer. Shoftim was the Zakenim, was the elders. And the elders to the prophets, so the prophet, the Rebbe of all prophets was Shmuel Hanav. So a new era is happening, and we're going to be moving into the era of Nevuah, which we'll explain. And we will find that Shmuel is the first person to go out and to make popular the idea of being a prophet. And this happens through the Institute of Monarchy, which Shmuel begins as well, through Shaul and then King David. And what happens is that a revolution of Nevuah is created. And the world will now have a host of prophets. There'll be a democratic realm of prophecy in a spiritual sense. And this prayer is expressing this idea over here, as we will see shortly. But if you look at the line in the Malbim, in the Reb Tzadok, that I bolded and underlined, so you can't miss it, right? So it was different than the relationship between Rachel and Leah. He says, Alchem hischachmo liftoach shar chadosh b'kriya shem tzvakos. She was wise to open up a new gateway in calling Hashem the shame of tzvakos. As they bring down the Gemara, the amru shalohaya adam shekaru kein ad shebol chana. Nobody called Hashem tzvakos until Chana came along. So there's something significant about this tzvakos. And he says, V'yadua, and we know, T'misham, from her, or T'mishamzeh, from this name, Hu Yenikas Hanavim. This is where the prophets nurture themselves. V'alkein Zochsa L'holid Shmuel. And therefore she merited to have a child, Shmuel, Shenikar B'nei V'chazal, as the rabbis in the Medrash Tanchum explain, as Rabban Shal Kol Hanavim. He was the Rebbe of all the prophets. Kiad Yamav, because until his time, Ein Chazon Nifratz, the visions of prophecy did not spread out everywhere. V'chein Shalshelas HaTorah, and also the chain of the transmission of Torah, Sh'amu B'reish Avos, that says, in Pirkei Avos, it says, U'zikenim L'Navim, and the Zikenim gave it to the prophets. Hainu Mishmuel V'elech, it's from Shmuel and onwards. Hu Ascholas Hanhogas HaNavim, he's the beginning of the conduct of the Navim. For all the Torahs Hashoftim and all the generations of the prophets, Sha'ad Yomav until his days, Heim Doras Hasekeinim, is the generation of the elders. V'chana Atzma Zochso Gamkein Lios Mishiva Nevios. And Chana herself merited to be of the seven prophetesses. She Pascha Shar Zeh, she opened up this gateway, the Yenikas HaNavim, of the nurturing of the prophets, Umishadel Yanak Shmuel, and from her own self, she nursed Shmuel. Her spiritual genes of prophecy, she gave over to Shmuel. The Inyan Hanavua Bedoras Hanavim, because the concept of prophecy in the generations of this generation called of prophets, who is Yachtus Nafshos Protios, Shezochel Hanavua, the local Adam Zochelizah. That in this generation there was a new age understanding of prophecy, where Hashem could unify himself with individual prophets with this nevuah that we have over here. So he's really saying a lot over here. What Chana was asking from Hashem more than anything else is to change this era in history. to create a new derech called Tzvakos, that everybody could approach Hashem directly, and Hashem would display His presence more overtly to other people. And the prophecy until now was something that was very restricted. It's very restricted. It didn't go to everybody. And that's what that pasuk we just quoted for you was saying over here. Moshe va'aron b'kohanov. Moshe and Aaron had an era with his kohanim, which is a very small group. And therefore, who are the prophets in the whole era of Moshe and Aaron? Moshe, Aaron, Cohen. That's it. Nobody else had that connection to Hashem. And in times of the Shoftim, again, who was it? Pinchas. Handful of people. Very, very few people. That was it. That was the whole Kohanim that you had. So it's Moshe, okay, whatever. Moshe, very restricted group. Moshe, Aaron, Bekohanov. Ushmuel, Bekorei Shema. But Shmuel, with all those who call out in Hashem's name, this is the idea of the availability of prophecy to many, many more people. And this is why she's asking for so much, for such a child. She wants to create a whole new era for the Jewish people, because the old era would no longer be viable. When history moves on, changes have to happen. You know, the Torah is the same, and Chas V'Shalom, we never alter the Torah. But the applicability has to reflect new epochs in Jewish history. Okay, when the Jewish people are very young, a little baby, so you know what? You got to restrict the prophecy to only the most unique and special people. Moshe, Aaron, that's it. Very few people. And as the people are building up the land, okay, so there's a certain needs in that era. But now the land, it's time for the land to become settled. It's time to live in Eretz Yisrael the way we were meant to live in Eretz Yisrael. So living in Eretz Yisrael means that you feel a tremendous closeness to Hashem. And by feeling that tremendous closeness to Hashem, there cannot just be prophecy for a handful of people. But prophecy is something that must spread out in a very broad way, where there would be millions of prophets living in Eretz Yisrael. That's the way a Jew should live in Eretz Yisrael. Millions and millions of prophets. And of course, we have the wrong understanding of what a prophet is. And that's why you're wondering, what's going on? What do you need millions of prophets for? So I don't have time, but Luzzatto discusses this in great length, and we discussed it with a number of Rambams. The English word for a Navi being called a prophet is a very distorting translation. When you hear prophet, you hear prophecy, that means telling the future. And that was not at all the primary part of prophecy. And that's why it's not good to use the word prophecy. It is such a terrible translation. It will apply in a minority of situations. You know, when you're learning about the famous prophets, Yirmiyahu, Ishayahu, people like that, maybe the English word prophet would be appropriate. But otherwise not. Navi comes from Neviv Svasayim, the moving of the lips, where the whole point of prophecy is that of being a Navi, as it says in Silas Sharm, we go through all the different steps of spiritual development. And when you finally get to Chasidus, then the next thing is Ruach HaKodesh. That really there should be the availability for every Jew to have Ruach HaKodesh. The availability that every Jew should be able to feel Hashem as closely as possible. As we spoke about last night in the class, that it's not an idea of being proficient in the topic of God, but to actually feel HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And there's different levels, but the highest level of feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that when Hashem comes to the person and Hashem's presence overtakes the person's reality, and there is a total fusion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Navi. where the person now begins to really understand what reality is. That when he looks at the world, he now sees the world totally different. He doesn't look at the world from the nigla aspect, but he looks at the world from the nister aspect. He doesn't see just the revealed part of the world, he sees the inner content of the world. As we gave the example in the past, when they have these pictures, the magic eye pictures. They show you a picture with just a bunch of colors and patterns, and it really just would look like some nice wallpaper. But if you allow your eyes to cross, and then all of a sudden, a three-dimensional picture emerges from that picture, and you'll see three birds flying in a three-dimensional way. And when you look at the picture, all you see is a nice pattern, right? But then you let your eyes cross, then all of a sudden you see a three-dimensional picture. It's unbelievable. It wasn't to the common eye, you don't see that. But there's an inner picture in there, right? And not just two-dimensional, it's a three-dimensional picture. So can you imagine if somehow they could create a three-dimensional picture, that the picture that emerges is a picture showing you the process involved in creating the first picture. Okay? And I don't know if they could do that, but you could imagine, right? You see this picture, now you cross your eyes, and the three-dimensional picture is a bunch of guys working on making the two-dimensional picture be the picture. Now, what would be the more accurate picture? The two-dimensional or the three-dimensional? The three-dimensional. Three-dimensional is really what's going on inside the picture that you see. So the truth of the matter is, when we look at this world, what we see is an illusion. We just see in a world that seems to be going on its own. If you really saw the world properly, you'd see these spiritual energies all around the room, directed from Hashem, that's making everything happen at this time. That would be the true dimensions of this picture. You'd see the good angels that are created from our mitzvahs, and the destructive angels ready to kill us in this room for the averus that we did. That's the reality that's in this room. And Hashem intervening and keeping everything the way it's supposed to go. You would see the, God forbid, deathly germs trying to kill us for the averus we did. And Hashem in His great mercy warding them off and keeping us alive for whatever good deeds we've done. The real picture is a lot scarier. It's a lot more real than the picture that we see. When Hashem would come to a Navi, He would give him the privilege of seeing the real reality. It's the three-dimensional picture that is really the root of the two-dimensional picture. That's really what being a Navi was all about. Being able to see reality in the deepest way. Not to live with Hashem as a concept, but to live with Hashem as really living with Him. Being with Him. Being one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something that could no longer be restricted to Moshe and Aaron. It's something that would have to be part and parcel of what it means to be a Jew. And that's what this era was bringing in for Klal Yisrael. And through Chana and Shmuel, they would popularize this idea. And it would come with risks. The Reb Tzadok adds, in the third paragraph, he says, if that's going to be the case, now the free will choice comes to man. Now, there would be now schools of prophecy teaching people to be Nevi'im. Now, people can come, and now it becomes more widely accessible. So now what could be a negative that could come out of that? You could become a false prophet. And from the prophets of the Baal, Avodah Zarah, and idol worship. Because it says later on in Sefer Dvorim, it says interestingly, it says, Ki yakom bekirbecha novi, if a novi will come amongst you, who will be false, etc., etc. So how can you call him a novi if he's false? Say if a person comes and he claims he's a Navi, but it seems to say a real Navi comes, but he comes with false information. Why is that so? Because Reb Tzadok says, Shegam hu nikra Navi stam. He is called a Navi because he has done the homework of being a Navi. V'yeshbo kolach ha-nevuah. He has the power of nevuah. El shehu yakom me'atzmo v'lo nikra she'kadosh baruch hu mekayimo. But he comes from himself, as it were, and he doesn't attribute it to Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, there's the ability to learn how to get closer to higher realms of reality, and hopefully it's used to connect to Hashem, but if one chooses, they can connect to negative forces and be able to get into trances and states that do allow you to get into higher realms, but you're taking it to the wrong place. And this now is not the time to get into the whole idea of false prophets. But the idea is clear that it's something that becomes much more available. And, you know, a mushel to perhaps understand this better. If you have a pool of water and it is very deep and very narrow, right? Very deep and very narrow. Maybe the whole pool is this wide, but it goes down for miles, right? Then what can you do? You can spread out the pool and spread out and spread out and spread out, spread out, spread out, spread out, spread out. Still has the amount of water. And eventually the pool, it's a very low, shallow pool. So when you're starting with Moshe and Aaron, it's a very small pool, but very deep. The level of prophecy is unbelievably deep. But now, when you want to broaden it so the pool spreads out, but the water comes up. And although for every individual it's a great treat of prophecy, but it's much more shallow. And now you're leaving, when you make anything popular, then, you know, the wrong people get their hands on it. But again, you know, that's the free will choice of mankind. But you have to make it for the good that comes out of it. You know, that millions and millions of Nevi'im came into the world. Now, just the only Nevi'im you know are the ones who then Hashem will take selected groups, very few, say, you will give over a message for the future. You will tell people to do tshuva or the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. All right, that already is where we use the English word prophet. But that was very, very few Nevi'im, and it was not their primary role at all. The primary role was to become a person who's very connected to Hashem, and the ultimate connection is being a Navi. And that's one of the 13 principles of Jewish faith. That there is a concept of prophecy, that a person can get so close to Hashem, and to be in love with Hashem, meaning to be at one with Hashem, and to really understand the realities of this world. So this is what the idea of Tzvakos is the hosts. There'll be millions, not just millions of people, but millions of Nevi'im, millions of people who are now his hosts, that host HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality inside of themselves, and they spread that to other people. Can you imagine? There's millions of them walking around and understanding the emes of this world. You walk and talk and think differently. And that could be mashpia, it could influence the world in such a positive way. Right. So therefore, this would take unbelievable difficulty to bring someone to this state. And this is the challenges that Chana went through. Okay. Now, yeah, you have a question?
Was a fixed amount of prophecy was given to the world from the time of Moshe?
I don't know. I don't know. There might be an answer to that.
The same amount was deep, is spread.
Yeah.
It didn't grow.
I don't know. Seems not. It's only so much we can get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So now, let's go on to Psukim, and now, you know, we'll soon get to a Malbim. I don't know if we're going to, maybe we'll start it today, but let's just read the next four or five Psukim and just see a superficial understanding of the next four or five Psukim. And then we'll work through the Malbim, who gives us much deeper insight as to what's going on over here. Anyway, we're on Pasuk Yud Beis. V'hoya ki hir basali hispalel lifnei Hashem. It was as she increased her prayers to Hashem. V'eli shomer espiha. And Eli is watching her mouth. Remember, Eli's sitting in the chair over there. He's getting a little break from the heavy work of being the Kohen Gadol. And now she's there by herself, so he notices what she's doing. V'chana hi midaberes al liba. Chana is speaking upon her heart. Raks v'seho na'os, just her lips are moving. V'koylah lo yishomea. And her voice cannot be heard. Right, that is v'yachsheveha eli l'shikora. And Eli considers and thinks that she's a drunken woman. She's a drunken woman. Obviously, he feels she is doing something that's not appropriate. Now, what could be not appropriate? She's praying. What could be not appropriate? Well, we'll see. The Malbim will explain what he felt was inappropriate. The famous Chazal tells us that as the Kohen Gadol, he could have ways of finding out things. And the way that you can find out things is by using the Urim V'Tumim. He had the breastplate. And it had letters of almost all the letters of the alphabet. And Hashem could illuminate the letters, and from the illumination of the letters, you can put together a message. So he kind of asked Hashem, so what's going on with this woman? It's very strange behavior that I'm seeing over here. So four letters came up. Four letters came up. The letter Shin, the letter Chaf, the letter Resh, the letter Hey. So he puts the four letters together. Comes out to Shikora. Drunken woman. So he thinks she's a drunken woman. However, the letters, you know, not necessarily are in order. It's a jumble. You have to figure out what it means. You could take those four letters, Shin, Chaf, Resh, Hey, and you can rearrange them, and it will spell the word Kishera. A kosher woman. And so there's two ways that you could read it. So when you're looking at someone, you could either judge the person favorably or not favorably. And the Hashem was allowing Eli to have the ability to make the mistake, which he did. So obviously he saw something most unusual and made him feel that she was not a kosher woman, but rather a drunken woman. So that's the accusation he made. Yudalad. Vayomer eleha Eli. So Eli says to her, Admosai tishta korin. How long are you going to be drinking? Hasirias yeinech me'olayich. Remove the wine from upon you. It's terrible what you're doing. You're insulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know in halacha, you can't come to Hashem in a drunken state. You have to be in a much more serious state. Tesvav, Vatan Chana, and Chana answered, Vatomer, she says, Lo Adoni, no my master. And Chazal over here says, she said, I'm sorry, you're not a master of understanding this situation over here. Isha Kshas Ruach Anochi, I'm a woman of a very hard spirit. I'm very sad. My spirit's been broken. I didn't drink any wine or beer. I didn't drink any of that stuff. But what I'm doing is I'm pouring out my heart before Hashem. So don't consider your maidservant as someone who doesn't have the yoke of heaven. But rather, because of my abundance of speech and anger that I spoke until now. We have to explain what all this means. Okay, let's understand what it all means over here. And therefore, Yitzayin, Vayan, Eli, and Eli said, Vayom, Lechil, Shalom, go in peace. Elokei Yisrael, Yitein, Eshei, Losech, Asher, Sha'alt, Me'emo. And Hashem should give you your request that you asked from him. Okay, so we have. It's interesting. The word she'elaseich should be spelled she'elaseich with an aleph, but she'elaseich comes from the word shuya, which means like a placenta or a fetus. In other words, he should give you a she'elaseich. He should give you the fetus that you're looking for, that you're asking for. That's what the letter over there means. Okay, so let's. Let's take a look what other ideas we have over here. So the Malbim, I'm going to give out the Malbim now, and we're going to start it, but we're not going to finish it. We only have a few minutes, but it's a very, very important Malbim. and really it just opens up the entire sugya. So it's worth, I usually don't do the malbim, give that one everybody else. I usually don't go through all the malbims inside, but it's a very important one. And this fits into what Reb Tzadok was saying about this new era of prophecy. And a whole new way of, if it's a new era of prophecy, then it's a whole new era of prayer. And therefore it's, you give Mark one. Yeah, okay. So it'll take a while. We'll start it today, but we'll have to go into tomorrow. And then hopefully I'll have a copy of the Nefesh HaChaim, which will take it a little bit further. So let's take a look. And he says something very interesting. He says, V'haya, Mavur Etzli B'Mokam Acher, explained in another place, Sheish Bini HaTfilah Shtei Madregos, there's two levels in prayer. Yesh HaMispalu Al Yidei Emtsoi, there's someone who prays through the use of an intermediary. That you pray through the use of angels or advocates who mention your merits, and through the merits you will be justified. And you're asking for help and salvation through an intermediary. There's one way, is you pray. You go to a tzaddik. You pray to different intermediaries to intercede on your behalf. You go to the grave of a tzaddik. You say, please go to Hashem on my behalf and plead my case, and mention my merits that I have. That's one way. But the person doesn't really feel that close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'yesham yispal b'li emtsoi. And then there are those who pray without any intermediaries, as our rabbis say. It brings down from Chazal. Al titzavach lo la Michal, lo la Gabriel, ela mi kashem alokeinu b'chol kareinu lov. Don't cry out to Michal and Gabriel, but rather straight to Hashem. So it's either you can talk right to Hashem, or you can do the use of an advocate. V'yeshnei avdelim b'neim. There's two major differences depending on what route you want to take. V'sidur tefilasim, in the way you pray. Echad, number one. If you pray to Hashem direct, you don't have to pray that long. Why? Since you're not planning, you're not seeking to win a court case over here. You came to God through kindness and mercy. Kamo shekasuv, as our rabbi say, she tzaddikim, that the righteous afal bi sheyesham litlos b'masim tovim. Even though the tzaddikim have lots of good acts they could bring along to justify their cause, but they're only asking for a free gift. Like it says in Va'eschanon, Moshe pleaded to Hashem, Chanan, from chain, from charm. He says, please, I don't deserve it, but you know, give me the charm, as a little baby would come to you, smile and want to be nice to him. Right? And therefore, ein tzarech laharich ulatzia zchu yosav, you don't have to go into great lengths and mention all your merits. In other words, if you personally come to somebody, you're bringing yourself into the picture. So when you come to the person and you plead for yourself, you don't, there's that much to say. Here I am, I'm coming to you, I'm forlorn, I'm in big trouble. Rachmanasam. Now it's like the poor man knocks on the door. You see, he looks terrible. Just looking at him, you feel terrible for the guy. So the guy doesn't have to say anything. He's going to have to prove to you this and that. Let me show you my papers. Let me show you all the doctor bills. Let me show you that I need $1 million. The guy, you look at the guy, you can see right away he needs your help. That's all there is to it. He has to justify his case. When you come in person, it's the person that you're looking at, not the cause. And that's what face-to-face is all about. You come in person, it's me. I need the help. Do you deserve it? Here I am. I'm a broken person. So you don't have to talk very long. The person says, I understand. And when you come to Hashem that way, directly, you don't have to say very much. Lokein hashel adei malitzim. But not if you're going to go through an intermediary. Mesaprin zchuyosov. Shabhem Yavar, Ki Roy Shitasa Bakashoso Al Piadin. They have to mention all the guy's merits to clarify that the person is worthy, that his requests should by law be accepted. They have to arrange the arguments, clarify the merits. Like it is in the world below. If you go straight to the king, you just ask him to have compassion. You have to say a lot. Say, my master, please do a kindness to me. But not if you're going to go through offices. You go to an office and say, hey, can you put in a good word for me to the king? I can't even get into the king. Can you plead my case? The circle of Varus Chiyosov, you have to mention all the guy's merits. Then that he should be victorious and justified through law. Because they can't do kindness by themselves. Rak emes amishpat, just truth and justice. So, you know, in other words, you want going through a justice system here. Okay, so that they have to plead the case. Who is this guy? I don't know the guy. I never saw the guy. So, oh, this is the case. We have to create a whole scenario. So that's number one difference, if you come in person or not. Number two difference, Beis. Hamispal Hashem levado, if you pray to Hashem alone. And lo lashmiya kol b'tfilaso, you don't got to speak very loud when you pray. Because Hashem understands everything. He understands what's in your heart. You have to say, so you believe you're talking. But you could speak very softly. Hashem's listening. And if you would scream in prayer when you know you're talking to Hashem, it makes it look like you don't have a lot of belief in Hashem. You make it look like Hashem is hard of hearing. Only if I scream will He hear me. Not so if you ask through intermediaries. You gotta scream. Because the angels don't know what's on your mind. So it comes that if you pray through an intermediary, number one, you've got to present your case in a way that the intermediary can bring the case, because you're not bringing yourself. It's got to be a lengthy prayer, and it's one you quite often can be screaming out. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when you're talking straight to God, you're there. You don't have to present any case, and you don't have to talk very long. Right? Your mother sees a little baby crying. You don't need any explanations. Any explanations. You see the baby. See the baby's crying. Finished. You deal with it. So these are the two ways. So now I think you can begin to see what's going on over here. He may be May Ailey in the days of... Okay, we've got to stop. It's late. Okay, we'll right at that point. Well, now, we'll remember these two points tomorrow. Then you'll see how it all fits in. The whole discussion will all make sense. We'll do that tomorrow, Mitzvah. It's going to get 2 days in a row. We'll have to have a week-long break.